Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this. Talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Chat, IGN's Destiny show, where I'm getting over a cold. Joining me in the studio, CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Brian Malkowitz.
C-Team.
C-Team.
That's fair.
Sorry,
that's fair.
Buddy.
That's fair. I miss you, Steven.
For our audio listeners, we do a C symbol, and then we put them together to make
exactly.
a heart at the beginning of the show.
That's what happens.
I denied CJ this week.
Rejected.
On this week's show, man, what a week. We got raid announcements that we're going to go over. We're going to be talking about Outbreak Perfected. And, so let's get right into it. We're going to talk about the raid at the top of the show in case you don't want any spoilers for Outbreak Perfected. And let's get right into it. So we found out that Season of Opulence is coming June 4th.
No surprise.
Yep. And here's the surprise. 6 hours later at 4 p.m. Pacific time, the raid will drop. CJ, you have the weekly update on your phone there. What was the name of the raid again?
Crown of Sorrow.
Yes,
Crown of Sorrow. Crown of Sorrow. That is correct. Thank you, Brian. And it launches literally 6 hours after.
4 p.m. Pacific time, recommended power for the first encounter, 7:15.
Bam.
Yeah.
There we go. So right away, the first topic of conversation is this good or bad? I absolutely love this. I feel like this addresses most of the problems. No more excuses, really?
You know? Oh, Destiny. It's the Destiny community. Of course there'll be problems.
Like, I have seen a lot of people.
I've seen a lot of problems already.
We can talk about this.
This is great. I feel like it has an even starting field for everybody. I like it a lot. I don't know what the problem is. So you guys tell me why I'm not allowed to like this.
Okay,
Brian, why am I not supposed to like it?
Go ahead.
Okay, so what else? Let's deep dive into a little bit then about what you actually like and why you like that. Like, tell me why you like it.
I don't have to like wait a week. I don't have to like know life destiny and like be sleep deprived or anything like that. Basically,
you'll still know life it for the first X amount of hours.
I've already started preparing.
There's nothing to prepare. What are you going to do?
Stack your bounties, Brian.
You can't stack bounties. Anything acquired in Season of the Drifter will max out at 700. So if you carry anything over to Opulence, it'll drop at 700.
Really?
Yes.
What about your dailies? Boom. Stack up your dailies. So you can get the weeklies when Season of the Drifter drops.
Well, it's going to reset. Then,
you mean like stack like bounties for Ikora?
That's right, baby.
Okay, that's
you got to start planning.
Okay,
well, I have got to start planning. And I love this. This is my favorite thing about Destiny.
Yes,
figuring out optimal strategy. This is why Teddy and I get along.
Yeah, I know.
My favorite thing about this is Destiny's like, I don't have to know life. This it's going to be great. But he's like, I'm going to stack bounties. I'm going to do so much. I'm going to play for 6 hours.
I got five of the Dreaming City bounties on one of my characters. I did it this morning in like 20 minutes.
Oh, I love it, Destiny.
It's a month out, man. I have a month to like get all my characters to 700.
Do eight Dreaming City bounties, hold on to them, then do 20 Ikora bounties or bounties for Ikora, hold on to them.
Yeah.
That way, once the update is live, then you turn them all in. Same with Black Armory, too. You can do that.
Make sure you have your five ballistic logs. Apparently,
they don't go away anymore, which is great.
Yeah, and it's so good. This is hilarious. So I love this. I love these kind of episodes because I do think it's funny. You are saying in one way that you hate no-lifing it, but you absolutely love no-lifing
it's exciting for you.
And that's fair. I get
it. They've let us know a month in advance. I can play a healthy cadence
yes.
to prepare for the raid, and I'm so relieved. I mean, I'm getting married, so like
the good thing the week before, a little while before.
This is Destin's last no life raid.
Yeah. So exactly.
And then, well, we're gonna have to give it to him.
All right, that whole marriage thing is done. Time to raid.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's good. So I'll jump in here and say why I kind of appreciate it as well too. The no life grind is shorter, which I think is
6 hours.
It's good. Exactly.
It isn't gonna be a no.
And
life.
But you're gonna raid
to be
though. Yeah, and you're gonna still do the raid. So you're gonna play those 6 hours, and then you're gonna go into the raid, and who knows, that could be another 24 hours, or who knows how long.
You could go in at 700 and probably be okay.
We don't know. I mean, if they're saying the first encounter is 715,
the first encounter is 715, you'll be able to do damage on those enemies in that encounter.
I think I don't know the deltas. Like, that's a Teddy thing.
Yeah.
He's really good at
I think it's
stuff.
30. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
but,
50.
But I mean, so.
But yeah, you could go in and they're swords, right?
No idea.
So it's like, it's they're either swords or they're skulls. They're skulls, you're in.
Yeah, they're probably going to be. I imagine
they're swords at 15.
They might be swords at 15.
So everybody who's 700 could go in and do the first encounter. That's great. It's going to feel like a bigger community event.
Yes.
I thought people would be really stoked about this. They are not stoked about this.
No, so I think for the most part, they are. Like, I personally appreciate this and like this a lot better, too. I'll give you the other perspective here, and naturally, this is my fence sitter mode. Giggs, we'll quote him directly here. He was saying, I hate to complain about the structure of the third release, but I would much rather see Bungie introduce an easily achievable hard cap on players' levels. For example, cap players at 710 to 715 until world's first completion, then give players enough time to hit the hard cap. So he goes on and says a bunch of other things. But what he's saying, like, you know, short story is there was a Crota. He mentions Crota in this tweet if you go and read up about it. What's going to happen potentially is they're worried about people continuing to grind on the side and then getting a higher power level while people are getting to a checkpoint in the raid, and then people are going to jump in the middle of the raid and potentially assist completing them. And that was a big deal for Crota because when you were level 31 or 32 with the sword in Crota, you did way more damage to Crota. Yeah.
So you're saying people are going to have to like coordinate as a team and plan their strategy to be effective?
No, Destin. Not only six
and
people.
That's
you said
negative?
That. You said
no,
that's
no.
Yeah, said that. Very sarcastic.
I know he's being sarcastic.
Why is that
turn
a negative?
Off trials? And
that is not a negative.
No, the negative that he's saying that potentially could happen is it might not necessarily be the same squad of six that started off the raid. It
so
could
why?
Potentially be, well, because then it's not about the experience of the raid progressively from start to finish. It's about, again, gaming the system to try to have other people progress still outside of the game in order to bring them in at a checkpoint.
Well,
and then
aren't
further
you, aren't you immediately disqualified from World's First if you change your fire team?
I don't know. That's
no,
what
it's
I mean.
If you exit the raid.
It's if you exit the raid.
Yeah, but if you have people in your fire team who have exited raid, isn't that just immediately disqualified?
I don't
your
think
team?
So.
No, it does not.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of whoever beats the raid first,
well,
right?
Yeah.
So, but again, we are mostly
I love
now,
that.
Yeah.
I love that. That concept has even been thought of. This is the stuff that I love.
Yes.
Figuring out like, all right, well, if I get these bounties and I stack them and then we have our player seven do this and strategy. Strategy. I love strategy in this game. And
I do too.
It doesn't have a ton of it. So like for me, I think that's part of the reason I love the raid so much.
Absolutely.
Because you can actually strategize as a team.
But you're
if
also-
people are willing to do that, great. Like, well, does everybody, does, is it that, you don't have a chance at world first? Like, why is that a problem?
Oh, for sure.
The other issues are people.
Guess what?
People aren't just having.
I don't have a chance at world first. Most of you don't.
Yeah, a lot of people are having an issue not with just the fact that it's launched on day one and all these other issues that they're having with it. It's the fact it's timing.
Yes.
So people in the U.S. are going to have a major advantage over the entire
there's
the
that
world.
Too. I've read that.
Because, okay, the timing because, thing?
Because that, some people it'll be like 1 o'clock in the morning or like way too early in the morning. And so those are the other issues that people are presenting because that U.S. will have way more of an advantage to get this raid done.
That issue I can be a little bit more sympathetic to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Realizing it's launching at 4 p.m., which is god-awful hours in some parts of the world, is kind of a bummer.
But I think, though, in the defense of that, no matter when something is launched, somewhere in the world is going to get screwed over timing because
The world, you can't please 100% of the people
11 a.m.
all the time.
11 a.m. Pacific time is probably the closest to good you can get, which is why the reset's around 10, 11. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but even in the context of, you know.
Why would record that other show I do.
What?
At that time.
Yeah.
So but even, four different times.
Even in the context of, though, of, you know, whatever else could happen, like, I mean, there was a bunch of people who raised points of, you know, on console, if you're downloading it and your download speeds, if there's a big update, you know, and obviously from a stability structure as well, too, I would imagine Bungie just would not want to make the raid, okay, here, you're logging in at 10 a.m. and that's go time and whoever has, because even for me, I had issues last time, I think, in Argos one time. And it wasn't anything Bungie did, but there's always some kind of little DLCs or patches or some kind of maybe bugs or something that they need to work out on their end once stuff launches. So hopefully that 6 hour window is enough time where everything launches really smooth.
I think it was Dotto who came up.
What's his name?
Dotto. Sorry.
Dotto.
That he brought up an interesting point too for people who have really crappy internet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like when the download.
What was
like,
this point?
The point, the crappy download. You're gonna lose time. So if the update goes live, hopefully the update goes live before
during the reset. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if they launch the update at reset time, which happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Then people will be stuck downloading for however long it is.
Yeah.
And then so they're losing out on like an hour of grinding to get this. So that. Right there creates an unfair advantage.
Yeah. So Giggs's point, I actually kind of can see and understand. I'm bringing up my poll.
So.
Yeah. I don't want to speak on his behalf, but I mean, for the most part, I would say that, yeah, if there was a hard cap where people played for a few days and it was easy to get to the hard cap and then everybody was the same, because I think that the biggest thing that people would want is everybody wants to potentially be able to get to power level, whatever it is, like 710, let's say, and then feel like, okay, now the raid is not only about racing other people who are good, it's about giving everybody the same start point. And then, because a lot of times it's like, again, we've had this conversation so many times, like, oh, did you have an advantage because you could no life grind it for 10 hours because you're a streamer or you're, you know, you work at IGN or whatever, and I can't because I got to work a real job. And those are legit.
I feel like that particular argument is largely nullified based on the 6 hour time period.
I mean, it is mostly, but in this context.
Fran, if you were here, he would say he wants it on a Saturday because most people don't work real jobs on a Saturday.
And that's
you
true.
Have a month, like if you want to compete,
yeah.
You're going to have to take Tuesday off. That's really all you got to do.
Yeah,
everything
is.
Else is like, you just take Tuesday off.
Yeah. Well, but you're saying, but then there's a crap ton of strategy and then grinding for 6 hours. Like there's a bunch of other things.
Like
but.
What do you, like, come on.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying,
the
like,
strategy thing has to be there. Otherwise, what is it?
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Yeah, just run in there. You just have it. Whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, everybody can get worlds first. It's 700. It's 690.
Yeah. But
go
that,
for it.
Yeah. But that's my point. That's the context,
right?
I think of having a hard cap where it's like, okay, within the span of maybe a couple of days, everybody's going to be able to hit 710 if you do these basic things. Then it's all equal starting point. But this is as close as it could be, I think.
You could do some fairly basic things and probably get to 710.
I think so, too.
Really within that six-hour time span.
I think overall.
No, like mathematically, looking at it.
Yeah.
There's a,
with all the bounties.
Very high chance
that
if you did the prep work, you could probably be 710.
Yeah, but they're shutting down some of the raids and some of the other things in the meantime to avoid people kind of exploiting the game in that way. So they do want it, I think, to feel organic in a way, right?
I did put a tweet out there. How do you feel about Destiny 2 Season of Opulence launching the raid on the same day the new content drops? It has 3,000 votes. This is on twitter.com/DestinLegary. That's me.
It says, shameless plug. This is good,
64%. This is bad, 30%. Right in reply, 7%. And then there's a huge
argument thread
that I
– There's a huge argument
really
because
and that's
the world is too big. The player base is too large. You will, in a competition like Worlds First, you can't include everybody by default.
Yeah.
You just can't because everybody has different schedules. Everybody has different lives, different ways they play the game. You're never going to satisfy everybody and bring them all in, include everybody at the same time. It's just never going to happen, no matter what they do.
4 p.m. is a really interesting time because that largely puts the eastern portion of the world in a tougher spot than Pacific time.
And I think it's also just Bungie is experimenting with something. This is not.
Yeah.
This isn't.
Oh yeah.
This isn't. This isn't them. This isn't them saying, "Hey, every raid we're doing from now on until the end of Destiny is going to launch like this." This is them just trying something out. And I think They have room for that. We've had so many raids in the past that have launched the same way they do. Like,
yeah.
They just let them do something.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Do something different.
And you sound like you're changing it up.
Yeah, and you're sounding like this is positive for you. Overall, I think this is positive for me as well. Because let's say you don't get a chance.
Whoa, CJ, the fence fell down
and
you
right.
landed on a
I'm
side.
Jump on the positive side. I think,
I'm going to say positive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I see both sides.
I like to present the arguments against it.
Me too.
Of course. But, that's healthy.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. But I think it's good. And I think for the most part, because even if you're at 700, let's say you've grinded your way to 700 or you got there before the end of the season. A, from somebody who's not at 700 yet, I think I'm like 687 or 88. I have now an incentive to get to 700. Get good. Thanks, Sean. I have an incentive to get to 700, but then also I feel like if I was not able to grind that day for whatever reason, I can at least get into the raid if I'm at that level, and it doesn't feel like it's impossible to do right off the bat.
Dude, they got Iron Banner coming around the corner.
Exactly.
They still got tons of dailies you can do.
Yeah.
Your dailies give you usually plus one, by the way. Some of the things that I wrote down just for tips, I mean, you can figure it out for yourself. There's a Reddit thread that actually breaks down the best power advantages.
Yeah.
Stack your daily bounties, turn those into Ikora. Wait until, run a few characters. Just really baseline strategy. I don't want to give everything away.
No, it's fine. Oh, yeah. Destin's competing in his
mind
already. Away,
but all of these things, everybody is like crafting these theories on how to like raise your life fast.
The people that are like really, really into it the way that I am in my crew.
I love that you're competing.
Aren't we raiding on the same day?
Oh yeah,
in the same crew.
I'm sorry, my crew changed this year because the old one kind of just fell
apart. Like if you name cut me out, you got to tell me now.
Oh
yeah, I was given the name bar warning. No problem.
We warned him.
7 minutes.
Brian did remind.
I reminded him to get rid of.
You know what? They're periodically going to come back.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. It's weird because we have tons of E3 prep, and I think I'm actually flying out to get ready for E3 like the next day, and I'm going to be here in the office packing up to break everything down. So I'm in this always non-committal mode where I'm like, okay, I have like maybe a raid team that I can maybe hobble together to like save a spot for me, but I can't commit like you can.
CJ's my boss, by the way.
There you go.
So on camera.
You said it.
Can I work from home that day and grind and do the raid with Destin?
If you're on my team, Brian, yes you can. Approved.
Right. Sorry, Destin.
Now, listen, now we know. I understand here what's happening.
I need Brian's help for the...
Yeah, I bet you do. We'll talk.
The features. The features.
The raid guy.
Exactly. Were there any other... CJ, you kind of were looking into some of this stuff before the show. Was there anything else? You said you were reading this thread about like what's going on. What are some other points that people are bringing up about why they potentially don't like that?
I mean, those are the main ones, but then also like, you know, PC console, like, you know, just being able to maybe update things faster and stuff like that. There's just, there's internet connections, there's downloads, there's time.
The console thing is, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's all those things. So again, I think it is the right amount of time. And like you were saying, I think that it's enough time that it feels close to it, that it's not a huge grind fest leading up to it, and you can just play into it and get in if you're 700. So I think for the most part it is positive. But yeah, you're going to see negative sides of things like that, regardless of what they do. But I like this personally better than, like you said, a 5 to 7 day window where you don't know what the light level is going in, you have no idea what the power requirements are, and you don't know what the date is, because a lot of that stuff like came at the last minute and we didn't know any of those details going in.
This begs the question then, what is going to be the biggest end game activity of Season of Opulence? Because
it's this raid.
But yeah, but I mean, like, the raids always have a high level starting point. But this one doesn't.
Yeah.
So is there going to be some activity in Season of Opulence that'll have like a higher light requirement?
I just think it'll scale. The enemies will scale.
There is the new six player activity.
Like where,
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
But like Shattered Throne was higher, had a higher minimum than Last Wish did.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we don't know the ending of the final bosses, and so I'm wondering, do you guys think this is going to be another raid that almost goes, like maybe a couple days before somebody's going to beat it?
No, somebody will beat it the first day.
You think it'll be like hours, like the way Shattered
Just
Throne.
Looking at the math of like how many drops you can get across three characters, I think people are going to be able to go in with that 6 hour window at least minimum 710.
Yeah,
minimum.
Minimum 710. Like, it's going to be pretty easy to get.
And there's just people who have like ridiculously good RNG where they're going to get all the slots in your mind.
I think you're going to be able to go in minimum 710 for like, you know, my team will probably go in somewhere near 710.
Yeah.
And I think some people are going to be in the 20s.
So Scourge
to start.
Yeah, Scourge of the Past. Wasn't that beat it in like a couple hours the first time?
Like, I think it was like two, three hours maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm optimistic. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, it's weird. I mean, so looking back, let's kind of just quickly, before we move on, analyze a couple of the raids. Between Leviathan, Argos, Spire, Scourge, what raid, and then Last Wish, what do you think was maybe not perceived the best, but where would you like this raid to land? Would you like it to be on the longer side? Like you could be playing it for like a day and not beat it? Or would you rather it be you're playing it for 2.5 hours and you beat it and it's a shorter raid? Leviathan was kind of right in the middle.
Dude, people don't like it, but I really like Spire.
Yeah, okay.
In hindsight.
Did you like the way it launched? The way, you know, you potentially couldn't get to the max light and you had to come back and play it the second day?
Spire, for me, what happened was one of our players, Gamma, his computer blew up.
His hard drive went down, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I'm like, well, that's the end of the stream. Mm-hmm. The most recent one, we finished it quickly because there was a bug that we got unintentionally that basically allowed us to infinite revive.
Res, right, right.
Mm. And that was a big negative for me because I'm like, well, we did it in hours.
Right.
As opposed to like a day or two. I really liked Last Wish, honestly.
Well, now here's
the length of that was insane, though.
So here, yeah, and here's,
hours
for yeah, to be here's what's crazy.
I don't think it'll be as long as Last Wish.
So here's what's crazy. You say, and I'm not like calling you out, but you say you don't like the no life grind, but then you no life that raid for 24 hours. There is a part of you that does like it.
So here's the thing with the raid. I had to no life grind it.
Yeah.
And that part was detrimental to my health. So that isn't a positive. What was a positive was being in the raid.
Right.
Figuring out the puzzles.
Yes.
And being part of the race.
Yes.
To that, first. That was one of the best experiences I've ever had in Destiny.
See, and to me, it just goes along with like what you're saying. I don't mean to laugh. People say, oh, CJ laughs at Destiny all the time. I'm like, I'm not laughing, but you're talking about a video game and in the same sentence you're going, if I put the health concerns aside. But the reality is the sacrifice that you put in equates to the enjoyment you get out. It's really weird mm-hmm. how those things correlate with each other. And yeah, Destiny is one of those games that just does that. I still don't know of another game where I'd be hearing somebody say that going, oh, I think you might have a problem. But that it makes sense for Destiny and it makes sense for raids.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that you think that Scourge of the Past or Last Wish, even though you played for 24 hours and it was crazy detrimental to you mentally and physically, was still like that's like best Destiny moment probably of all time.
Let me preface it just a little bit by saying that I in no way was forced to do that.
Right.
I didn't have to do that for IGN in any way. I'm just insane and I like to do that.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're part of the Destiny community.
True. The problem with the health concern is just sleep, lack of sleep.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think I did it in a fairly healthy way, except for not sleeping as much as I could have.
Yeah.
Like I made sure to take breaks, to like go run. And that's actually really important if you are going to
be as serious
as I am about it. Take breaks, at least 10 to 15 minute breaks.
Stand
drink
up.
Water regularly. Yeah. And thank you to chat, by the way. Anytime I do one of these raids, they're constantly reminding me to do those things.
Yes.
They're like, Destin, get food. Destin, eat.
Yeah.
So to the community.
Standing up for like a minute is super important.
No, seriously. To the community telling me like, hey, like do something so like you don't like just sit there. And keep being supportive in that way to any of the streamers who are doing this, by the way. Because like – I get tunnel vision.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I do too when I'm playing.
And it's not just Destiny. It's my work life and everything.
Yeah.
I get tunnel vision about stuff. And sometimes it takes somebody going, hey, you need to slow down for a second.
Like me.
CJ.
Hey.
You know, so do that for any of the streamers out there. You see with a little bit of tunnel vision for that win.
It's
but
fun.
At the same time, I love it.
Yeah, it is. It's fun. I like watching it. Like I said, we did Leviathan with Steven and I's crew, and yeah, we were top, I think, 60-something. So it's fun. Like, I've been in that raid race. Even if you don't come first, just to be a part of it, it is pretty fun.
Yeah. So let's move on from that. Let's talk about Outbreak Perfected. If you don't want any spoilers about the Outbreak quest, this is where you cut off on the show because we're going to go full spoilers.
Yep.
So basically what happened is there's Outbreak Prime is back as Outbreak Perfected.
Mm-hmm.
It launched silently. No trailer, no teases, nothing. And thank you, Bungie,
thank you so much yes.
for waiting until after it had like 48 hours,
yep.
right?
I think it was the next day. Wasn't it the next day?
It's 24 or 48 hours after the gun had been revealed. They released the trailer, so the surprise wasn't spoiled for us.
Yep.
It wasn't data mined.
The catalyst was data mined.
The catalyst
That's
was, but it was at
was
the same
happening.
Time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
yeah.
dropped. So, just thank you. This is probably one of the best executions of an exotic quest ever.
I agree. I think so.
I mean, it's on the same.
Maybe,
same caliber.
Whisper. Yes. Same.
Well,
caliber.
No. This was better because. Mm-hmm. we didn't have to like sit through a billion Cabal drills to finally get that IO that
I'm thinking D1 though.
D1
with. So like, what was it called in D1?
Well, it was Black Spindle.
Yeah.
Black Hammer then became exactly.
Black Spindle, Silent Drop, no teases, no data mines. It was just there and we all found it. Fantastic moment. Great. This sort of echoes that. I love it.
Yep.
And yeah, man, what did you want to say,
Steve? So good. Well, I was saying, so here's me being on the opposite side. I think the only negative thing I've seen is that people are like, oh, it's kind of a weapon that we had in D1, not a brand new weapon. That was like the only thing that I've seen that might be, you know, a little bit like, hey, just revisiting. but that's what I mean. But for me alone, like, let's talk a little bit about the actually just, so besides the implementation of it, going back to the tower.
Real quick, can I comment on what
sure.
you just said?
Yeah.
Okay, so to all the people who saying that, look at Destin asking for old content back again, let me like things. Back off. I like a lot of the stuff in D1. I'm glad it's coming back. Hopefully they don't do that again with D3, but we are where we are. This is reality of the situation we're in, and I'm happy. Let me be happy.
For now.
I'm hamming it up a little bit for the camera.
Let me be happy. Let people like things. That tweet's been going around.
Let people like things. I'm excited about this quest.
And I am too.
To be mad about everything.
Dude,
do I?
No, you don't. And I was super excited too. So the nostalgic part that again, is a massive spoiler, but just walking back through the tower destroyed. I played the music for Steven, Brian, you weren't here at the end, the D1 tower music when he was here. There's just something about seeing it in that state that still is like, it's just gut wrenching, man. Walking past through that area. You know, you spend so much time there in Destiny 1, and to see it in the way you saw it in the opening part of Destiny 2, and to walk back through it now, kind of in its state where, you know, the conflicting part is, at the same time you're wanting to take in this nostalgic moment, there's a timer. So I gotta give the shout out, I got the guys who helped me with it last time. I'm looking around, and I'm kind of admiring the view.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, come they're on, like shooting in this go. Direction. Yeah, go like, come
Did
here and go
you?
There. No, I didn't LFG it, but I there's some guys who, I've been in touch with off and on, just were, fire team chat. I'll randomly play in PvP matches. Then at the end of the PvP match, if they win or lose, I'll usually get GG's man, big fan on fire team chat.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go, thanks. And if people say that to me, I usually will end up adding them as a friend. We'll play together. And I haven't talked to them personally, but, we played last night and I just put it out there. I was like, hey man, would really love some help. So,
and here's a photo of them at my kid's christening.
Here's we're best friends now. Yeah. Frozen. And Yum Yum and Soda.
Frozen.
Oh,
Yum.
Hey.
Yeah, just
thanks for watching, guys.
Yeah, thanks for watching, being big fans. And I hit them up and I was asking Teddy too. He was in the middle of a run. And they're like, yeah, man, we'll walk you through it. And I had kind of seen you do it because when Brian was figuring out that morning, I love those moments too when it's new, you don't know what's happening. Him and I are on Reddit. You were here too. And we're like, oh, you think you go to the tower? What's this, man? Oh my God.
Yeah, going through that solo
so
for first
cool.
time, really fun. I mean, I didn't get very far, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just figuring that stuff out. Anyways, I have so many. There's so much more I could say about it, but I'll let somebody else take the floor.
It kind of puts
it was
perspective
awesome.
Of why nobody has fixed the old tower yet, because going through that and realizing how deep and all the intricate parts that are going on in there, like no one's like, I'm not fixing that.
Exactly.
I'm not touching that.
Problems everywhere.
That's an engineering nightmare.
We got those
architectural nightmare.
We got those weird ass air vents that could just go nowhere.
Yeah, they just, infinite. It's like, why is this vent? Like, I'm going to jump in here and then just.
This fan. Why is this fan built this way? I can just sneak around this side here.
Mm. Yep.
So you liked it?
No, it was fantastic. I love it. Yeah.
Again, you got to plan with your team. You got to make sure you have the appropriate loadout. You got to make sure that you have the different damages.
Yep.
Arbalest really good
is great.
In the encounter against
those shielded shanks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So going through the design of it, did you like the platforming section, Paige?
Yes. And that was what I was going to say. I mean, I'm going to nerd out here a little bit because I really did like a lot of it. I think in Destiny, one and two a little bit, when you're strike grinding and you're just running through a level, it's not that it's bad, but for me, that's not super engaging. Mm-hmm. This, even the little ledges, so I tried actually the heroic version. I didn't complete it, but the crazy. I know you did.
We haven't had time to do the catalyst run either. I want to run it with you guys again. I like it that much that I'm like, I'll just hop
on. That's what I did when the Whisper came out. Like, I just wanted to run it just to run it because, like, the platform is great. The music was awesome. And, like, the whole spectacle
the
of both of these missions
so good.
Are fantastic.
And when you're out on the side, when you're doing heroic mode, so you run and you're, like, basically on the edge of the wall of the tower. There's times I think there's only other one other time when I had vertigo in Destiny 2, and it was when, you know, when you're doing the Ascendant challenges and you're trying to find the chest and you're running up all those invisible little areas, mm-hmm. and then the very front of it, there's this chest that, like, it's overlooking the whole Dreaming City. When you look down, there's nothing around. Felt like that. I was walking along the edge and you're trying to jump through these little, you know, tube areas and grass the ledge. And I actually could feel myself sweating and getting nervous about, and I'm a hunter. So
a little tingly at the tips of your fingers.
Rip the hunter jump. And I don't know how many times I'm like, I gotta go. And you just kind of fire on your way down, just like missing the jump puzzle. But there's definite moments of, D1, VOG baked in just a little bit. And then as well as like, you know, the phallic area of King's Fall. There's just these little moments in all the best parts of Destiny coupled into this, as well as just the nostalgic moment of being in the tower again. Like, so good. Loved it so much.
Mm-hmm. Brian, any thoughts?
Nope.
Yeah, I absolutely love
it. You said it all.
I like the heroic version a lot. The fact that it's different.
Yeah.
Like you have to do different things in order to complete it. I like a lot. How do you guys feel about the weapon itself?
Yeah.
It is awesome.
It's good.
It's really good.
Yeah. And it's going to be even better with the catalyst. Like, mm-hmm. you guys know what the catalyst does?
No,
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm working on it. I have the catalyst.
It does the catalyst. Yeah. So sorry, when you actually complete the catalyst.
Yeah.
When you complete the catalyst, the nanites do more damage.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I do remember.
And any
that.
Enemy that dies by those nanites while they're attached to them will spawn more.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
so it's just going to be just nanite, right. increasing the damage. Like, cause like this, have you seen people do like runs of Kallus with this? Like six players stacked shooting Kallus melts them.
Without break.
Because if there's nanites attached to Kallus,
yeah.
everybody shooting him does more damage per nanite, and they just keep on stacking nanites and it just melts his body.
So cool.
So good.
Can you get the catalyst already?
You can get the catalyst. No, sorry. That's without the catalyst.
Yeah.
It still melts them without the catalyst. Okay. The catalyst just makes it even stronger.
Better.
Yeah. Right. So my follow-up question, Steve, do you like the gun?
Yeah. I mean, so I played a little bit in PvP and PvE. It's a laser. And again, I'm a controller guy. You guys are both playing mouse and keyboard on PC.
Claws seems to do a little bit better against it.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, so there are legendaries that can go toe-to-toe with it, but it is good in PvP. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's all good. But that's what I mean. So it's still one of those weapons that's got a fairly, aggressive, a linear shot. Like, it doesn't recoil too much, and there's not a lot of weapons when you're playing with the controller where that has that effect. Like Vigilance Wing is another pulse rifle. It just, when you're playing with the controller, it just kicks too much. So for me personally, it's a crazy weapon as far as damage and DPS, but I think this one rivals it. Just, it's right there for a controller user where it doesn't feel like it's kicking too
also
much.
Also just the aesthetic too.
And the aesthetic, it looks amazing. It sounds amazing.
When you get the head pop,
so
it's like,
It sounds amazing. It feels good. Yeah, it feels really good.
I like it a lot too. I can't wait to finish the catalyst. How do you guys feel about it being gated?
The catalyst part, I mean, these are the things I kind of expect. They want you obviously to have a little bit of time to power the weapon up in a way. And we the same thing with Whisper of the Worm there with that quest. I do like, again, how you access it one time and then it's right there from the directory. So for the most part, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I think it gives you something to play and strive for over time.
Yeah, it's going to take 5 weeks to finish it, right?
Five weeks if you don't do, I forget what it is, but, you get 20% just by beating the heroic mode.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then I forget what it is because I haven't done the heroic mode yet, but you get an additional, I think, 15 to 13% for doing something else. And then I think maximum you can get 33 a week, and you can complete it in 3 weeks if you do that.
Oh, all right. Well, I got to figure out what that other thing is. Yeah, I assume
there's a thing that'll give you an addition. It was just like with the Whisper of the Worm.
Percentages more.
Just like with Whisper of the Worm, if you did the chests, all the chests, and then you did that
that extra
thing where you shoot the orbs.
Yeah.
Well, now I like it more.
Yeah.
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 Honestly, the mission, like, in many cases just mirrors what they did with Whisper of the Worm.
Yeah. Yeah. But the entrance and the accessibility part, I mean, node thing was like fairly straightforward, but it was cool that it wasn't gated and it was something in your control. So I'm assuming you like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
No more Cabal drill.
Yes.
It's like they learned.
Yeah.
And that makes me the most happy. They learned so many lessons. The trailer is like showing us, hey, we figured it out.
Yeah.
Sorry about all the times we did it weird.
Yeah.
There was no gating.
The issue though is getting
the main weapon.
Yeah, some people there, the other issue is, and I guess this can fall. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if you didn't do the enemy of my enemy mission up until the point where you choose between the hive and the fallen captain.
Yeah.
Then you can't get it.
Yeah.
You can't get the
You have to have Rat King done.
You don't have to have Rat King. You don't have to actually have
You just have the quest available. Yeah. I actually ran into that too because I couldn't remember. So what was weird is that we played console pretty heavily right up until D2 launched on PC. And so I had mentally thought that I had the Rat King and just deleted it, but I didn't. I actually had it on console. So yes, I did have to do Enemy of My Enemy. Yeah, you kill the Fallen Captain. And then once the quest drops and you go back and talk to Sloan, then you do that part over again, and then it was there for me.
Yeah, you can also get it in patrol. You don't have to do that mission get the Fallen Transponder.
Yeah.
So, trailer.
Really
good. They listened, they learned, they improved. The accessibility to the mission, largely, they learned from it. I don't know why the Rat King thing matters. That one's weird for me.
I think it has something to do with you not finishing all the world quests, and so for some reason, that's one of the things that Bungie didn't look into or probably just missed.
That seems like a weird gate that
and I don't think it was a gate intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was just something that they put in the game and they didn't realize there was a barrier blocking it.
I don't mind the 3 weeks right now. Mm-hmm. I'll see how I feel about it later.
You also get a ship too.
That's a time thing.
Just like with
you
the
get an
ship
emblem from, and a ship.
Yeah, if you do each because right this week I think it's void.
Oh, that's the thing that T-Rex was figuring out.
Yeah. So you have to do one each week. So in 3 weeks you'll get the ship if you do one for the void, arc, and solar.
Cool. Yeah, I don't mind it so much. The reason I didn't like it with Whisper is because once they did the changes, it made it much harder to get catalyst, the heavy ammo changes. Where yellow bars don't so you go in and you have two whisper shots and whispers nerfed. And
That's why everybody went in with Polaris Lance.
Yeah.
They figured out doing damage. All right. But yeah, dude, it was that was such a nice surprise. Like I said, for the people who do think that is kind of reskin, like I don't think so. Like the tower is never accessible in that capacity. The level design of where you go after the tower is mind blowing. Yeah. Like I would love to see a 2D flat plane of how you actually design this to have this many entrances and exits and where you go here. Like it is pretty incredible. And every time I got a chance to see new vistas in there looking through the tower, yeah, it was super impressive. I was really excited to go through that.
Yeah, what's the one thing you don't really hear a lot of people complaining about? The world design.
Yeah, so good.
The level design, the world design. Yeah. I rarely hear complaints about that because it's just like, what are you going to say besides it's
top
great.
Tier?
Yeah, exactly.
Top tier for sure.
Scales so huge.
That's all we got for this week. I'm really happy. CJ says I'm riding the wave, and then like the once all the content's gone, then all I'm left with is all the complaint stuff. Like, well, because that's all you have left.
And that's fair. It's funny because I think people kind of look back and forth about Fireteam Chat, go like, oh, you know, you guys got to keep doing the show. It's like, yeah, regardless, we kind of all enjoy Destiny just in different ways. But the same way I operate life, I just kind of like, I'm a PvP guy. Oh, that's kind of neat. Yeah, okay, I just keep going. You're like, yeah!
CJ's this. I'm this.
Yeah. And Brian, you're kind of like, I think, a little bit there with me as well.
I mean, I'll fall. Like,
if
when CJ's I don't like something,
here,
I'll fall.
Brian's like here.
Nah.
Hey guys, I'd
say a little more like if CJ's like this, I'm kind of just
hover right. Yeah, around. but it's a personality thing. It's not a love Destiny. Just we play it very differently.
If I start finding something, I'm just like, I'll just stop playing and I won't be mad about it.
Yeah, yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. Not this guy.
That's what I did for like 2-3 weeks, and I was still mad about it.
I just don't get mad about it.
It's weird.
But I'm excited. I'm really excited.
I was going to say, you're excited. Yeah. That's cool. And I would imagine that this leading up to then E3 announcements and everything else that potentially could be announced in the next few weeks is going to be the amount of stuff that's going to be happening up till then. And
you think
then,
they're announcing something for E3?
I mean, I would expect that there's going to be something besides Opulence. So
I don't think so.
So will this be the first? Will this be the first like Bungie? If they announce something, is it going to be like the first release outside of Activision?
Oh yeah, one thing I wanted to say. Like, is this the first
Opulence
post?
Opulence won't be, but whatever comes
after.
Well, I know because they have the collaboration. Yeah, but the media plan, is this their first sort of like launch?
I think it would be
Activision, because like the other one was probably still tied up with Activision planning.
Yeah.
This one they might be totally free of that and handling it themselves, and they're like, we're going to change this, and this.
Yeah.
And so far, so good.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? And I think that's what's exciting. Like, hopefully they will be there. I'm assuming, you know, we don't know 100%, but, you know, if they have something to announce, it would be, you know, E3 would be the spot to do it. So,
but
where?
Yeah. I mean, they have no, like, big stage presence now since Activision.
They could do it on Sony or Microsoft.
Sony's not.
Oh, yeah, sorry. They can do it on Microsoft.
They can do it on Microsoft Stage for sure.
exactly. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's
they could just do their own thing. They could do a ride along.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they could just be there and just
yeah. Or it could be another announcement that just drops like this, maybe at the same time, just to like you know, just piggyback along on the train. Yeah, yeah. So
anyway, we gotta get back to it.
That's right.
On the work floor, so to speak. Thank you guys so much for joining.
Thanks, man.
To talk about our love of Destiny, and thank you, audience, also.
Yeah.
For being fantastic. Until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.